didn't need it. There wasn't much chance of ever meeting the man again. The Kamchatka Peninsula was around 4,000 miles away. JB moved a single step closer, the barrel of his Steyr blaster never deviating from the cringing man's spine.
Oh my God.
What's he saying?
Sounds like Pomagod or some such. We could use the Freezy here to do with some translating.
Look like he's shitting himself.
The old man risked a glance up from the snow at his captors when he realized they weren't going to shoot him in the head. The fur hood had slipped down over his forehead so that his glittering blue eyes barely peeped beneath the fringe. Snow caked most of his face, like a clown, the lips red, the scarlet cobra of his tongue flicking nervously out. He fixed on Ryan and began to crawl very slowly toward him. None of this had the least bit of meaning to any of the three men.
Wish he'd get up. Looks like he's red-blasted scared.
Should be, trying to chill Rick like that. Guess it could have been a mistake. Saw movement and just let it go.
Ryan, standing with legs slightly apart, looked down and saw in the trampled snow and earth a tiny bunch of yellow and white flowers, delicate as a baby's breath. The old man had wriggled closer. His hand touched against Ryan's ankle, stroking the damp material of the combat pants. The words had ceased, and there was just the whistling of his heavy breathing. Ryan stared, still not letting his concentration waver. Now the face of the old man was between his feet, on top of the little cluster of flowers, hiding them. Both hands gripped his ankles, and Ryan could feel pressure against his foot. He moved a half step sideways to see what was happening. The Russian was placidly licking his boots, the long tongue wiping at the snow and clotted mud.
No!
Ryan pulled away, stumbling clear.
Sure wants to live.
The old man crawled after Ryan, flat on his belly, left hand reaching out imploringly, the right hand busily burrowing somewhere beneath all the layers of fur. The effort of wriggling through the snow pushed the hood completely off the old man's head, revealing his face.
Fire blast, it's a woman.
Despite the deep, dirt-crusted furrows and the straggling, downy mustache, it was unmistakably a woman's face, staring beseechingly up at Ryan.
Doesn't make any difference. Get her up and find out about a vill and food. If she won't tell us, then we chill her.
Ryan stood back, gesturing with the barrel of his pistol for the woman to get to her feet. Hesitatingly, slowly, she obeyed him, eyes locked on his face. Her left hand tremblingly brushed snow from her lined face. She looked totally pathetic, abject and defeated. She shuffled her ragged boots and edged a little closer to Ryan, who half turned to JB to help him question their prisoner. His eye caught Jack's expression. The face of the albino was a distorted mask, lips pulled back, sharp teeth grating. The teenager's red eyes were wide, staring past Ryan. His white hair was caught in the cold wind, floating around the angular head like mist beneath a high waterfall. The magnum dropped from the boy's fist, landing silently in the soft snow. Ryan was shaken by the boy's expression.
What?
Jack reached behind his neck and withdrew a bone-hilted, leaf-bladed throwing knife.
Don't move!
Then Ryan knew. Despite the warning, he started to turn toward the Russian woman, knowing he would be too late, too slow. Their prisoner had drawn an old walnut-hafted straight razor from somewhere under the furs and layers of rags, and she was slicing it through the frosty morning air toward the back of his neck. Jack's aim was true. Ryan realized as he began to turn to defend himself that his own bulk had shielded the old woman, leaving Jack the smallest of targets, a part of her face and one eye. The left one, he realized, with a momentary pang of sympathetic revulsion. As she staggered, the white hilt of the knife bobbled like the body of some obscene insect that had attacked her, launching itself with venomous accuracy into the gleaming orb of her left eye. Her mouth opened and closed like a stranded fish, her hands waving, becoming claws.
Done.
JB holstered his own blaster and turned away, no longer interested in the old woman, knowing that she was dying. Ryan also turned away.
Gotta get knife.
Jack stooped and plucked the blade from the Russian woman's eyeball. He wiped it clean on the wadded fur cloak she was wearing.
Could use warm clothes.
Let's find where she came from. Could be furs, could be drinking food.
Ryan climbed a few paces out of the narrow draw and looked in the direction that the old woman had been heading. Very faint, like a smudge of gray against the blue, he could make out smoke.
That way.
They drew nearer, following the meandering draw as it widened. They could see clearly the tracks of the old woman's boots, marking her outward journey. The large house was now far out of sight behind them, partly concealed by a dip in the land and by the trees that grew in random, scattered clumps. Jack stopped dead and sniffed at the air, catching the taint from the smear of gray smoke that the breeze carried in toward them.
Huh. Cooking meat.
Ryan's own sense of smell wasn't subtle enough to distinguish the scent of roasting meat at a distance of half a mile, but he took Jack's word for it.
Sounds good.
They crossed the rippled remnants of an old blacktop, its surface molded like corrugated paper by the shockwaves of the massive nukings that had touched every country of the world back in 2001.
Glad to see our folks got in some good licks.
Ryan rubbed at the highway with the toe of his combat boot, seeing the way the snow lay evenly in the shallow hollows. JB was blowing on his hands, trying to warm them.
Yeah, Doc told me all about the totality concept, the thing he was on the edge of. Sounded real simple. They hit you, and you hit them back. Worked even if they got in a sneak attack. It'd trigger your buried nukes, launch them at the Ruskies, even after...
After our side was all chilled.
Now Ryan caught the aroma of meat cooking over a smoky open fire. The smell brought a beating of saliva to his lips, and he wondered what price they might have to pay for food. In a barren, wild place like this, he knew that the price could well be blood.
There, beyond bushes.
Jack was lying flat on his belly, wriggling through a grove of stunted larches until he was close enough to be able to spy on the small hut. Ryan and the armorer joined him. The sky was clouding over, and the air tasted like cold iron. It was a feeling that Ryan associated with the threat of snow, remembered from his time in the darks and up in what had once been Alaska.
Anyone?
Jack shook his head at the question. There was a tumble-down shed behind the hut and a pen with a broken gate where animals might once have been kept. The place was silent and looked deserted, but the trail of the old woman led to the front door. And if there was meat roasting, someone must be there to watch over it. Ryan whistled quietly through his teeth. The cold was biting at the small cavity that had appeared in one of his back molars.
What's wrong?
Nothing. Just that... You and me both seen lots of old books and vids about Russia and the dangers of the commies. Now we're here. Unless there's some real weird mistake, we're here. Right in the middle of Russia.
They followed the usual plan of attack. Ryan and JB crept cautiously, keeping low, around either side of the clearing, settling into their positions. There was still no sign of life. A tattered nightshirt in faded pink danced on a line at the rear of the building. Ryan, from his side, could make out what looked like a path that wound away toward the northeast, vanishing over a rise in the land. As they moved, each of the three companions had been counting on a slow, rhythmic beat, something that they'd synchronized before parting. They agreed to begin closing in when their individual count reached 120. Blaster firmly in his hand, Ryan finished his count and broke cover. There appeared to be two windows in the hovel, on opposite sides. The rear of the cabin had only a ramshackle door that hung crookedly off a single leather hinge. There was a narrow gap at the top where a man could be sighting at him along the barrel of a rifle. He glimpsed JB making his own move, darting in at an angle, crouched, pistol probing in front of him, glasses reflecting what little sunlight remained. Out at the front, white hair streaming behind him like a crazed bridal veil, Jack would now be flattened against the wall by the door, his own cannon filling his hand.
Time to move.